more places and bang those rocks together real good. Thank you, Roy. You too, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, John. I thought you might get a kick out of it. I'm always a big fan of Hitchhiker's Guide. I heard Frank's on Echolink. What do you want to say, Frank?
Yeah, I don't remember that from Hitchhiker's. That's good. One of my favorite tips from there was the spaceship that crashed on a planet all of the passengers on the spacecraft were all HR people on their way to an HR staff convention, and they all died because they didn't actually know how to do anything.
You're talking about the Golden Fringe in VR. The story was that the planet Golden Fringe had decided that they had one-third of their population were useless to them. So they passed the story that Golden Fringe was going to be attacked by a space goat and eaten up. So they were going to make three arcs. They were going to make the A arc for the bosses, the administrators, the engineers. They were going to make the C arc for the laborers, the tradesmen, and the B arc for the middlemen. The telephone sanitizers, the barbers, unfortunately. And so they packed up only the B arc and shipped them off the planet to crash on what would become the new planet Earth.
Okay, that's just about as good. Maybe I don't remember it exactly right. And by the way, I think a couple of months ago, somebody had asked about something called the Supersonic Arrow. There was actually a YouTube short on that that came up on my home screen this evening. Did you happen to see that?
No, I didn't, Frank.
Yeah, apparently the Supersonic Arrow does or did actually exist. I know there was, at the time we were asked about it, there was very little online about it. Apparently, the Air Force was testing this thing, the hypersonic glide vehicle, and according to the short on YouTube, only one pull-up round actually worked, and they just canceled the project. Another interesting thing I heard yesterday about hypersonics was apparently in Ukraine, a Patriot missile battery managed to shoot down a Russian hypersonic glide vehicle, something that I think I had previously heard was not thought to be possible. Of course, it's possible a Russian weapon just didn't work right. Most of them don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard the same story. The person is trying to explain it suggested that the problem with hypersonic missiles is that they're hypersonic when they're launched, but as they approach the point that they're going to blow up, they slow down precipitously. So I think the problem was that at the intersection point, it was not very supersonic at that point in its trajectory.
Comment in one mighty way?
Certainly, Hank.
Yeah, I think that part of this is also the way the Russians sort of hype their advanced weaponry project for international sales. And the particular hypersonic quote-unquote weapon that was intercepted was in fact closer to a ballistic missile in its trajectory. The real definition of hypersonic weapons is during the glide phase that they can maneuver and which was something that the weapon that the Ukrainians intercepted could not do. And it's the maneuverability that makes them so much more difficult to intercept.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that. You know, I mean, I've spent enough time discussing my opinion of the Russian military and such, so I won't ruin the night by going over it again. But a lot of things said about military prowess often are overstated, especially when it comes to the Chinese and the Russians. But yeah, okay, good for the Ukrainians.
By the way, also, and I guess maybe it's something to talk about at more length last week, I think Fraser Cain, one of his recent Astronomy Today, his recent podcast, talked about detecting gravitational waves, the LISA experiment, and LISA Max proposal, and some others. Apparently the way gravitational waves are detected is using detectors very similar to antennas for RF, even though, as I understand it, they're not actually electromagnetic waves. But they can be very, very low frequencies. The detectors have to be very, very long for some of the proposals to have, use the barometers on opposite sides of the Earth or opposite sides of the Sun and that sort of thing to detect it, to detect millihertz, not megahertz, it's millihertz, fraction of a hertz, very low energy gravitational waves. So go ahead.
Yeah, they tend to use interferometers. They detect the distortions of space itself. So they'll have a column that's resonant, and as the gravitational wave passes through, they'll have one at one direction, X, and the other in the Y plane, and by seeing that there's a change in one but not the other, they can discern that there's a gravitational distortion passing through and offer some degree of directionality. And by having multiple detectors scattered through space and correlating them, you can make it effectively a much bigger sensor and capable of detecting much smaller distortion space.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The point that got my attention is that apparently the techniques to detect these things are not all that similar to the techniques used to detect RF, even though you said these are distortions in space and time, and they're not actually, at least I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, I take it they're not actually electromagnetic waves, but you still use the same techniques to use to detect waves. Anyway, it is kind of late, so I'll let you go, but I'll be too busy.
Okay, very good. Well, we can discuss it some other night. It uses any wave phenomena, because wave phenomena is affected by dimensions and can more easily detect distortions in space that end up being that your objects are acting as though they're longer or shorter than they should be. Depending upon the frequency, the material, if you get light waves, to discern much smaller variations, because each wave impacts a lot more waves in a given length than an RF signal would. So it's more the distortions of any radiating or moving waves that manifest the detector. The interferometers basically were designed more than 100 years ago for the detection of luminous ether. These guys believe that there was a medium in which light traveled. This believes that it traveled in the vacuum of space. So they built these beautiful machines called interferometers that have been repurposed in the 21st century to act as our detectors for massive gravitational wave phenomena.
Yeah, that's interesting. Another case of what's old is new again. The one last thought on the hypersonic weapons is if, in fact, we are no longer at hypersonic velocities when they reach the target, then they really don't have the unique advantage of a hypersonic weapon, as I understand it, because the advantage of hypersonic weapons is they don't supposedly, they don't need a warhead. They have so much kinetic energy when they hit something at hypersonic velocities that that something is no longer anything. And of course, if it's no longer at hypersonic velocity, you don't have that advantage. Okay?
Yeah, it sort of goes back to a previous technical net where we talked about rods of God being thrown at very high heights where it's just pure kinetic energy of the potential for a massive object to just drop down to the surface of the Earth and produce all the destructive power that you need. So, yeah, they were fudging it when they said that there was a, theirs was a true hypersonic missile. It was most of the hypersonic was in the jet that was transporting them, accelerating to that speed. So, like all things, you know, you got to read the small print. Yeah, someone wants to make a comment?
Yeah, good evening, Roy. AC2PL, Jeff. How are you tonight? Good to hear you. Thanks for running the mic.
Thank you.
I mean, hypersonic versus subsonic is just a matter of a few feet per second, right? You go from, say, 1,000 feet per second to 1,100 feet per second, and now you're going from subsonic to hypersonic. So the real question is, you've already made a suggestion to is the adjustment of the trajectory, or another station did. But also, there's a transition between hypersonic to subsonic, which can destabilize the trajectory QSL.
Okay, you know, I mean, there's a lot of technology involved. I think the principal bragging rights were that it's traveling so fast that missiles just could not reach it in time. And that seems to be proven, fortunately, the same.
Absolutely agree. But again, you know, there are a lot of things which travel subsonic and very similar things which travel past the speed of sound, so hypersonic. So it's not anything fantastical or new. It's just, like you said, it's fairly amazing if you can guide something that's going that fast. Any you know, average projectile can be made to go hypersonic. I think once you reach 1,100 feet per second, at the average 9mm handgun, for example, puts out something that can go just close to that. And that's just literally completely vanilla item.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, although it's kind of surprising to think of Russians as marketing companies, they're just marketing their wares. They used to make a lot of money on arms sales. I got this sense that after Ukraine is finished with their wars, that there's going to be less of a market for Russian military devices for some reason.
Let's hope. ACTPL, nice to hear you, Roy, and I wish you continued success, and happy Mother's Day.
Okay, that's the first one I've gotten today. It's actually probably the first one I've gotten in my life. Thank you. I appreciate the idea. And you're welcome. I enjoy this. And thankfully, you and all the other people that participate in this technical make it a success that I think it is. I believe it is. And with that in mind, it's 11:23, and I'm sure a lot of you are looking towards the bedtime. You got to go to work tomorrow. So, again, I thank everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break these nets. And so I certainly appreciate you coming back week after week and playing on my technical net. As always, I like to remind people that KQRIW would end his technical net with the advice of to be kind to each other, and I certainly think that that's a great thing to see these days, especially we live in weird times. Please be kind to each other, your family, your friends, even your enemies. An enemy is a kind of a limited type of thing. You know, our enemies aren't that much enemies. They're people with different opinions. So please be kind to each other. Again, I want to remind people, hepatitis, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So keep your mind open to new things, learn new things. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, when I started this mess today, if you're not having fun, you're doing it all wrong. So this is AC2GS. Our rebels now are done. This is formally closing this week's TechNet. We'll be back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. to do it all over again. AC2GS, and I'm going clear.
Kevin, three, talk next week.
At 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
KA2ZIU, listening. KA2ZIU, listening.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 4:55 a.m. The temperature 50 degrees.
W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Clear temperature 50 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Sunny temperature 49 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Sun temperature 50 degrees. W2VL repeater.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2L repeater.
Here is WB2EAZ listening.
W2GWP listening.
Noisy and spoke kind of fast, Mr. Paul. Try again, WB2AB.
Okay, no problem. The name here is Mario, and the call is N2JWB, November 2, Juliet Whiskey Papa.
Okay, that was much better. Yeah, you're definitely on noisy, but if you speak slowly, slowly and clearly, you are 100% copy. How are you? Fine, morning.
Okay, very good, very good. This is the first time that I'm using my Dynex ST7500. Hopefully I'm making a little bit of a signal. I'm a little bit frustrated with you being talking to slow pains for some reason. Don't have very good transmission power as they are in the talking.
I'm not sure I recognize the name of the radio. What kind of an antenna are you using, and roughly where are you?
So I am in Deer Park, Long Island, New York, and the antenna is an SG7500.
But what kind of antenna is it? I don't know all the makes and models. You know, is it like, you know, quarter wave, or 5/8 wave, or puppet duck?
All right, that makes sense. It's a vertical, 5/8.
Yeah. For a while, I was working in Deer Park, and I was always kind of spotty into this repeater from there. So you have a good antenna, you have a good radio, you're just bad geography, that's all.
Agreed, agreed. I must say, I've been out of the hobby for 20 years, but 20 years ago, we have much better range to Weimark in those days.
Well, it's waxed and waned, although back in the day, the repeater used to be on the FAA towers of Wantagh, and then they moved it to Glen Oaks by the city line. So that would, of course, a tremendous loss of signal out in Suffolk County. But I don't know when they made the change.
Well, I appreciate you clarifying that, because I've also wondered, and I don't really do QSOs. I generally listen. I like to use it once in a while since you came out and mentioned you are listening. But now I understand better why we're having such a problem over here with it. But I will be getting a different radio with some, some strength to it.
How many watts are you running into that 5/8 wave?
You're looking at probably 4 watts.
Oh yeah, boosting that up. There are two options that are actually about the same price. These days you can buy a 50-watt mobile radio for about $125, I believe. Or you can buy a 2-meter, 40-watt amplifier. I have one of those, but right now I'm using the former, so I don't need the latter. And they both go for about $125, and I recommend either one of them, and they do make a significant improvement.
Yeah, you kind of read my mind. I'm kind of looking at that Anytone for, as you pointed out, around $120. So I think that might do the trick. I do have amplifiers at home, but I tend to use that for my ATV project.
For your what project? I missed the key word.
Amateur television.
Oh, that's what it was. You said ATV. Okay, the noise kind of went up and I missed it. All right. Oh, you're dabbling in amateur television. I didn't think so many people did that these days. I think it was a big thing about 20, 30 years ago, and I kind of petered out on my mistakes.
Not at all. Yeah, it kind of went out of mind, so to speak, once we lost the World Trade Center. You know, Boone Stuckman, the antenna engineer, went down with the tower. And it was a lot of fun, and trying to revive it again. So we're going to move from analog television over to the DVB-T European system. And I hope to be able to make a beacon out here for the time being, hopefully, in finding some folks that might have interest.
Well, let me wish you the best of luck in your endeavors there. It sounds like a very nice, noble challenge to keep you engaged, yes. Oh, I have to say, a lot of stuff on 2 meters has changed. I mean, back about 20 years ago, this repeater at times was so crowded it was in danger of becoming a zoo or a circus. That's long gone now. I don't quite know why, and to tell you the truth, I guess I preferred it the old way, but I don't have any say in the matter.
Yeah, it was kind of quite a culture shock to me when I was out of the hobby for about 20 years, and I do remember, recall the days when we had round tables and lots of activity on the frequencies. But obviously technology moved in, cell phones, again, Zoom Room now is kind of emulating what we did years ago with amateur television. So, you know, those things have kind of creeped in, but when you're a technology type of person and you like RF, it's still a lot of fun to build those type of things. And I get it for the guys who are into HF, I get it for the guys who are into slow scan, or some of these other folks with DMR.
Understand your point, although I do have to say, I agree with you totally with everything, except I'm not 100% sure about DMR. I find I have never seen anybody with DMR who has really gotten down to the nitty-gritty of it. I hate to use the term appliance operators, because I'm pretty much of an appliance operator these days, so, you know, I'm really denigrating myself, but I find, you know, DMR people just buy the equipment and then wrestle with the software forever. Meanwhile, I'm here, so let's wrap tie the ribbons on, as they used to say.
10-2 JWB for ID. So, yes, taking that into consideration, you hit the nail on the head. They are into ham radio, and obviously they are into software. I see a lot of these guys get involved with it. The only thing I don't particularly think is good is I think there's going to always be a place for analog amateur radio, because in the worst of conditions, you're not going to have decryption or encryption or whatever requirements. You're going to have to be able to communicate with somebody, even if it means doing clicks or whatever. And analog ham radio is still a very, very important thing. So is such as AM radio.
I agree with you 100%. Well, it's not 100%. I have one exception. On the low band, I have found direct digital synthesis, DDS, is a tremendous leap forward in stability. That one is a real game changer, but I don't think it goes against what you're saying. It still is basically analog, it's just your VFO no longer drifts at all. So, I gotta go. You have a very nice day, and thank you for a very pleasant little chat with that WB2EAB answer on.
Well, likewise. Nice to meet you. Hopefully I'll be on more once I get an upgraded radio, so to speak, in the car, and hope to run into you again. This will be N2JWB and 73 for now. Be well and safe.
Thank you, WB2EAB.
NY2H, KD2OGB Mobile.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2OGB Mobile, standby.
This is WA2ZFM, listen. K2QT, WA2ZFM. KA2UTF, WA2ZFM. Thank you. identify you, WA2ZSM.
FIU Gray Farmer. See that FIU that's Andy from the grave screaming.
Bunch of retards on this man.
KD2LGB Mobile.
Good morning. How are you today, WA2VSM?
Don't engage. Just go somewhere else. I would try to link you, but I don't know if I'm going to reach it from here. I'm still in Fort Jeff area.
I appreciate the heads up. No, it's not important anyway. But thank you for the advice.
I'm actually going to listen on both ends for the remainder of my trip here, mobile. KD2OGB, standby.
Okay, this is WA2VSM. You have a nice loud signal full of Deadpool climbing. Another beautiful day today.
It's beautiful outside. Definitely can't complain. Was just in Port Jeff area. Now I'm headed off to Smithtown to see a couple of friends before I go home and switch clothes to get ready for work. Speaking of work, I got a phone call from crew office today. As of Wednesday, it's history for the night. I'm back on mornings, and I'm in the hillside, 6:30 to 2:30.
What type of work do you do?
I am a cleaner. I work for the railroad.
Now I remember.
And some people forget. It's all good. Trying to go nice and slow through this area with the construction. You never know when there's cameras, especially since they're all over now, trying to speed. What's nice about this is I can go to Levittown Hall on Wednesdays, and I can maybe go out to Greenport on a couple of Wednesday nights to do some work over there, and I can go to D&B Wednesday nights for half off to hang with my friends, so there's a lot of opportunities. The only catch, though, is I'm only going to be able to get 2.5-3 hours of sleep Tuesday night, so that's going to be a plus.
Very interesting, very interesting. Yeah, I do recall your line of employment, so I know we had the pleasure of talking before. What a lovely weekend. I can't believe how great it was. I'd like to get out to tennis balls today, later in the day. We'll see if I get a tennis partner.
Listening on the input on my other side, just in case anything more comes back. But I'm actually on the output right now on my left, and I'm on the input on my right. So I'm basically listening to both ends of the frequency here.
Okay, well, it's usually not a problem. But what can you do? Is there a flea market coming up with Limark, do you recall?
I believe it should be the Outdoor Ham Fest. It's, I think, in June. Somewhere near Stewart Avenue. I don't remember the exact place. But, yeah, that's from the last I've listened to on the InfoNet a couple weeks back.
Yeah, understood. Well, we'll look into it. Well, I tell you, I don't operate 2 meters very often, but the one, two times since Andy has passed away, it seems very odd without him. He was always just a nice person to talk to. WA2CDL. Dame.
Hey, look on the bright side. He's got Rich, Dick, Eric, and everyone else to keep him company.
I guess. Hey, listen. Life is very, very strange. I don't know where we are headed as a planet, century, but life is certainly very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, Roger. Stand by. Phone call.
This is Kilo Delta 2, Whiskey November Alpha, looking for a radio check. Anybody copy?
Yeah, good morning, WA2ZFM. The name is Stu. Your audio is way, 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 way down, but I can make you out.
All right, I'm back. KD2OGB.
Roger that. Thank you, Stu. This is KD2WNA. I'll work on my audio. Thank you, sir.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, you're certainly making the machine, just the audio lacks some type of punch. Anyway, have you heard at all about this new game called Pickleball?
Pickleball? What's that?
Precisely. Pickleball reminds me of paddleball with these small paddles. But you don't use a hard black ball, you use like a Whipple ball, which is kind of stupid. I've played tennis throughout my life, and my wife, too, but she decided the latest rage, quote-unquote, is pickleball, and it's pretty stupid if you ask me, where people hit almost like badminton with a handball racket, and it seems to be very popular. But I don't know. I always enjoyed running for a ball and hitting some killer shots at the other end of the court, making my opponent run for his life. I don't think it'll ever replace tennis.
I think I'd play pickleball. Basically, you have that little, it's got like a net on it, and you basically use special paddles, I think, to hit the ball over the net. Yeah, I'd play pickleball. Yeah. I was thinking, wait, I've played pickleball before.
Well, I'm old school. I love tennis. I've always loved tennis. As a matter of fact, a number of years ago when I moved into my village here, I was playing every day, and I herniated multiple discs in my lumbar spine, my lower back. Several years later in my neck, my cervical spine. But there's always a pleasure of running around like a maniac playing singles, hitting a tennis ball, and the heat of the ball and the placement of the ball is so important to me anyway. But pickleball is like for children. It's like a little tiny nothing ball, like a wiffle ball, and you hit it with like a paddleball racket. And my wife says, come on, come on, come on, the village opens up their tennis courts where they play pickleball. Come on down. I said, nah, no interest. It's not challenging.
I feel like tennis would be better than pickleball because with tennis, you can let the ball hit the ground once, but with pickleball, it's different. So you basically just have to keep hitting the ball. So it's not really a very fun game. And also, it can only really be played inside, not outside. But tennis, you can play outside and inside. So I would personally prefer tennis over pickleball.
I'm with you 100%. I have no interest in pickleball. By the way, I just want to make a note. If you give me the phonetics of your call again. I like to write everything down so next time we talk, I will recognize you.
Yes, sir, no problem. It's Kilowatt Delta Number 2 Ocean Golf Bravo, or Old Gray Beard, as some say.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, that's terrific, yeah. Well, it's all just chilly where you are, by the way. It started to become rather cool this morning. Well, the morning began very cool. We went out to a local garden center, and we bought some plants to grow tomatoes and vegetables and pots. That's not the type of pot you smoke. It's the pot you put plants into. And we also bought a very lovely, they call it hibiscus trees. They're about 5 feet tall with beautiful, beautiful flowers. My back is killing me, so I won't be playing any tennis today. But it is so nice. I wait all year for this time of year. plant things and see them grow. And, you know, all throughout the summer, we have peppers, green peppers, red peppers, orange peppers, and what have you, tomatoes. It's nice. It's nice. I like to engage in natural climate.
My sister usually likes to play tennis. I mean, if I really wanted to play tennis again, I could. But I personally would prefer, I personally would prefer to play on the school grounds, because there's actually Academy Street where I typically see tennis courts, and that's usually where I go. Anyway, I got my friends that are looking to talk to me, so let me get out of here and I'll see you around. W2VFM, KD2OGB Mobile.
Terrific. Have a great day, and thank you for coming back to my call. I enjoyed it you, so have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Stay happy. W8 to VFM.
Hello, Delta 2, Delta, 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 looking for a radio check. For a radio check.
YMC Mobile.
Keith, W Mobile. How's everything going?
Garland Station, WB2YMC. Name is Brian.
Hey, Brian, I'm George. Keith, I'm mobile in Beachhead, Queens right now.
All right, very good, George. I'm in Syosset. Heading over to Mineola, trying to find this place, Nassau County office. And beautiful day, another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely, you're telling me. It's 65, I just got the, I got my car washed. Well, really quick to get dressed, and then head out to, start my day. But yeah, no, it's a beautiful day, especially if you're driving. I'm actually a driver, so I'm in the car all the time. So, you know, thank you, it's not raining.
Yeah, I know, I hear you. I don't want driving in the rain myself. And just mobiling here, just left the home QTH and try and take care of some things. Now that I'm semi-retired, it seems like I'm busier than ever. I always got to take care of something. I'm fully retired from my normal gig, and now I'm working part-time, but I'm home this week and part of next, which is good.
Oh, very, very nice. What did you used to do?
I was a HVAC contractor, to put it simply, and sold the company and moved on, and now I'm still in HVAC, but not with that company, doing something different. So basically in that line of work.
I didn't obviously stick with it, but I was an apprentice. For an HVAC company. I'm talking like years ago. Six years ago, I ended up getting an apprenticeship at a HVAC company. I really liked it a lot. I'm not afraid of heights. They had a lot of commercial work, so I'm not buying it all the time. It was great. But in the end, I ended up going into civil service, and I'm also semi-retired. And now I just drive around. But I'm same with you. I feel like I'm working more than I used to.
Isn't that crazy? Who did you who'd you work for? I did residential, so if you did commercial, it's a different animal. Who'd you work for?
Air conditioner.
Okay, I think they're in Valley Stream, if I'm not correct.
Did you see in Garden Park? I'm going back a long time ago. Yeah, they definitely did move. And I ran into a couple of guys. I saw that they had their t-shirts on or whatever, and I walked up to them. I saw a couple of old guys that I remember. They were a lot younger back then, but from what I understand, there's a lot of people out there. But they were a really good bunch of guys to work for. I ended up just going into a different direction, but they were really, really cool.
That's good. WB2YMC. That's good. You know, listen, we all do it. I did when I was in my 20s. I was doing something different, and then this was originally my dad's business, although he had run it down to almost zero. So it worked out okay. I was there 45 years, and I changed careers, but it worked out.
No, absolutely. I'm a firm believer in everything works out. As long as somebody does the right thing, it all works out. I thought it was really cool. I mean, you know, God bless me with being able to work with my hands and mechanically. So my dad was like, you got two choices. Like, you could become a plumber or you could go and become an air conditioner mechanic. Your choice. So I was like, all right, you know what? Air conditioner mechanic, why not? It was okay. So, you know, one of his buddies worked there. He brought me in. But, you know, it would have been cool if I stuck with it. But I ended up on the right track anyway, thank God. And look, now I'm able to talk to you while driving around.
Yeah, not bad. No, I always said it's my son who still works there. I said, it's not a very glamorous business, but made a good living, and it was very good to me. But I, you know, you had to work hard, you had to hustle. Yeah, I worked with my hands, did everything. But the past 30 years or so, I really didn't work with my hands. I knew how to do everything, but for the most part. But I was really operations and sales and things like that, so... It kept me interested, and I'm still involved, but not with that company. With another company now, out of state. So, keeping myself busy, and I'm gonna take care of some paperwork. I'm gonna find out where do you pay your Nassau County taxes. I've never been to that building in Mineola, so that's gonna be another adventure.
Yes. In Queens, we have to go, if we have any issues, we have to go to Jamaica, which is a trek if you live in North Queens. Now, they have a couple of satellites other places to stay, but obviously, as I'm sure you can understand, it's very, very difficult dealing with socialist bureaucracy, in my opinion. But if I'm not mistaken, Mineola, isn't that where the courts are? Isn't that where the tax office is?
That's USL. I mean, I looked at the paperwork. It said 240 Old Country Road. I looked at it. I said, oh, that's where the courts are. But I don't know what I'm... I never did that before, so I got to try and pay this tax for a penalty and changed some of the paperwork, so it's all new to me. I'll figure it out, I guess. If not, they'll send me on my way.
Yeah, I hear you, Brian. I hope it's a lot easier than it is to deal with over here in the city. I can't remember if I did my ID, but it's for ID. All right, Brian, well, listen, I'm going to, I have to head out. I have to take care of some more stuff before I pick up my next client, customer, whatever you want to call them. I will tell you one thing I remember from HVAC that I do not miss. Lifting those heavy compressors with a